Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into the realm of the Word of God, I thank you so much for the privilege of handling the Word of Life. Father, I could have walked my own course in this life, and in the end, have gone to hell. But Father, thank you for retrieving me from the inevitable end of a man who throws his life away, and retrieving me from that, and causing me to be placed upon the rock of my salvation. I thank you so much, Father, for that wonderful, wonderful privilege. So, Father, the value that you put on my life, same value that you put on the neighbors, same value that we have in fellowship with you. And so, Father, this morning, as I share the Word of God, may the anointing of this Word pierce the heart of every person here. And when they leave this service, they feel that they have been blessed, edified, and more prepared for the evil that this world has to present, and for us to succeed through that evil and conquer more than ever a place of victory in you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen. Did you have something? You have to go put the what now? No. Hell, I didn't mean literally eat food. I was talking about eating the Word of God. First Peter 5:8. Darla, you know something? I really can't get over how much I appreciate your what you did. You know, it was really an honor what you did here. Man, it just really expresses the festivity of the year. She has real talent for that. Praise God. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We read this passage and we know it so well. Be sober, be vigilant. One thing that we need to understand is, first of all, this word, be vigilant, literally is a word watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful. So he says, be sober. This word for sober means, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand, what sober means. It means be in self-control. You know, one thing about people when they start drinking alcohol, because I can remember my former days, thank the Lord that I don't remember the feelings of it, but I remember the mentality of it. But one thing I do remember is that the more alcohol I drank, the more I lost control. How many of you in the past, before you got saved, had that experience? The more you drank, the more you lost control. Now, he said, be sober, be vigilant. So be in self-control and be what? Watchful. Because the adversary goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, that verse is very interesting because it comes off of verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you know that the Lord cares for you? Now, the word care here, it means to be in anxiety. Be in a state of concern, nervousness. Be in a state of doubt. See, the devil doesn't want you in control. He wants you out of control. He wants you in fear. He wants you to operate in a fear that seemingly would come, but if you're sober, if you're in control, and you're watchful, he will not touch your life. He won't touch my life. How many of you believe that? Because one thing God has given us is the Word of God. And I thank God for the Word of God, because if I order everything I do centered around the Word of God, then that synergy will keep me balanced. How many of you know on ships, a lot of people don't want great ships. Do you know that there's a place on that ship where they have this thing called a synergy? It is where no matter how the ship is tossed and turned, this synergy that they have in the middle of the ship keeps everything in control, keeps it balanced. Did a lot of you know that? That's true. Ships have what you call a synergy, a place on the boat that when things get shifted as a result of the waves or the tempest of the sea, this synergy goes to work to counterbalance that. And of course, this particular kind of synergy operation is not only on ships, but on planes as well. There's something on mechanisms on machines. The bigger they get, the more that synergy is so important. And the Word of God is important for your life because it keeps you balanced. It keeps you even, so to speak. It is important. Now, let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to talk about the things that Satan wants to do to your life to devour you with. One thing the Word of God will do, it will keep you in perfect peace. The Word of God will keep you in perfect peace. If you're not in peace, then the Word of God is not centered on your thinking. It is not your synergy for everything. You've got to trust the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, I want us to notice verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Your eyes will be open to know good and evil. You know what she just told them? You know what she just told Eve? You know what she just told them? She told her that God is a liar. That's what he said to her. No. No. That is not true. You know what he did? He centered her opinion around her more than around God. You know something? One thing you've got to realize, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God's saying more than anything else. That's the key. God's word is the most important thing to remember in spite of what you think. And he turned and he capitalized on something. You know what he capitalized on? He capitalized on her ignorance so that he could bring a reproach to God. And the Bible makes it very clear, especially when you get over into Timothy, makes it real clear, that Eve was not the problem of the fall. Adam was. Do you know what that means? It means that Adam did not do his duty as to informing his wife what God said. You know what God considered that? He considered that high treason on Adam's part. He didn't sit and inform his wife of what God had said. Because it said she was in the deception, not Adam. And you know what? The sad thing about that is that Adam went along with what the devil said by being in the presence of that statement when the devil said it to her. Because it said she took of the fruit and gave it to her husband that was with her. So all this time we think that Eve is in this big deception. We've got Adam sitting there listening to this conversation going on. You know what? I think when you begin to pastor more and more, and as these people grow, you always see an impasse in their life. And the impasse always comes with a challenge. I don't care what anybody says. The enemy is going to look to see if he can take you out. And if he can, he will. Because he is in a person's ignorance of what God says. That is his major tool, is to see to it you don't understand what the will of God is in his word. And if you operate by your feelings or what you think rather than what the word of God is saying, you can get into a real dangerous situation. And here Adam is sitting there with her, hearing Satan say to her what he's saying, and he doesn't correct it. You know why? Because Satan threw something else in there. He says, I'll tell you what. What God said was not true. Not only that, I want to add something to it that God never really told you. God doesn't want your eyes to be opened so that you can know both good and evil. So literally, Satan not only convinced her that God lied, but really, God withheld the truth from them. So he was hiding something as well. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 6. Old Testament? Yes. Amazing, isn't it? Pastor Butler told us to go to the Old Testament. Well, we went to Genesis. We might as well go to Samuel. Really do it up big. In 1 Samuel chapter 6. And let me tell you a little bit of the background for this story. The Philistines had defeated the nation of Israel. David now gets into the position of command here. And the first thing that was on David's heart was to do something. You know what David wanted? He wanted the presence of God back in the midst of the nation of Israel. And so he said, the first thing we're going to do for this nation of Israel is we're going to restore the presence of God in this nation. Let's go get the ark, boys. So they all get the ark, and they put it on a cart. And did you know that that's not the way you transfer the ark? So David, theologically, wasn't doing things correct. And it cost him his buddy. Uzziah reached out to steady it when the ark went to fall, dropped dead. And you know what David did? He got mad. He got upset. How many of you have ever been mad at God? Few honest people. You know, I was working out at the fitness center, and they have these TVs above the workout machines. I've told you this. And they were showing a wedding on the television. And these were pictures of a wedding. And they had the most beautiful, two little beautiful girls that were the flower girls that were excited about this wedding. And the person that was giving the interview said that about an hour later after this wedding, this picture was actually shot. This little girl was in a brutal car accident. It was decapitated. And so now the people in the wedding that were getting married can't look at their wedding pictures. They don't even like their time of the anniversary because it brings back memories of the loss of this little girl. And so it showed the camera on the car. Some of you might have seen this. Showed the camera on the dashboard of the limousine that they were in as this drunk driver got over into the lane and hit them head on. And that camera, that video, convicted him of first-degree murder. And it's the only case known to where vehicular homicide turned into first-degree murder. That camera sentenced that man. And I praise the Lord for that. Because to me, people, when they get on the highway under the influence of alcohol, it's the same thing as loading a handgun and putting it to somebody's head and squeezing the trigger. I'm sorry, that's the way I feel about it. I hate drunk drivers. I hate them with a passion. Sad to say, we've got believers out there doing it. And so they went to interview this beautiful bride. They went to interview her. And the statement she made just devastated me. And she made this statement. She says, well, she does not know why God made the choice that he had made, because it was wrong. She was a Christian lady. And she was evidently in a church that told her God's in control of everything. And she blamed God for the death of that little girl and said that God had made the wrong choice. God didn't make any choice. What about the scriptures that says the whole world in 1 John 5 lieth in the wicked one? We have a devil out there that gets into the minds of people to drink and drive. Not God. And you know what? That woman's bitterness was so hard coming out of her, the abundance of her heart. It just devastated me. Because this is why. The devil took a physical life to gain spiritual life out of somebody else's life. Isn't that sad? Now, you know, it says, now the beast was more cunning and crafty than any beast of the field. You know, when I looked up that Hebrew word for cunning, it's very interesting because they linked it right over to New Testament. And here's the meaning. It's phronemus. It comes off the mind word phronemus. And here's what is so important to understand about this word. This word literally means to have a mindset through a complacent mind. It literally means a mind that has become complacent or indifferent to the Word of God. And when a mind becomes complacent and indifferent to the Word of God, that is how Satan functions on that person's mindset. They are the ones who take the mindset and he capitalizes on it. Are you guys getting something out of this? Now today, I want to share some things with you what Satan's after in your life. What he's after in your life. Number one, I want you to know what David decided to do. David said, well, I don't understand why I lost Uzziah. I don't understand it at all. He says, until I get an understanding of how to transport this ark, he says, we're going to take this ark and we're going to take it over to the household of a man named Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Obed-Edom, the Gittite. He says, we're going to put the ark in his house for 3 months. He didn't say 3 months at that time, but the Word of God says 3 months, at least in my translation. But David probably just said, we're going to leave the ark here until I get some information on how to transport it. And so that ark was in Obed's home, the Gittite, for approximately 3 months. And you know what it says, happened to say about that? It says, let's read the verse. It says that the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Now, David said, hey, it's a good thing. The presence of God was there. It's a good thing. He says, now let's get that out of his house and get some blessing back in the nation. In the house of Israel. So he went and got the ark and brought it back. You know what this tells me? That whenever the presence of God is on your life, blessings will flow. And how many of you know that that doesn't change? I don't care Old Testament, in-between Testament, New Testament, Revelation Testament, whatever it is, when the presence of God is in your life, when you're on fire for the Lord, the blessings of God will fall. Because back then, God occupied the ark. That was where His presence was found. And so, Obed the Gittite, he thought it was great. I can imagine his servant coming in the field. Well, we went out and started to pick the crops. You know, that was out in the field. I'm just paraphrasing all. And we would have loved to have brought the heads of lettuce in to you, but they're so big we can't carry them. Oh, what's wrong? I don't know. And then another servant coming in from the field. You know something? You know what that ark's doing to me? What? It's creating more of a fruitfulness in my wife's womb. We're getting kids. did you hear? Our herd's increasing. Oh, I don't know. All of a sudden, our herds are starting to multiply. You know, I'm just paraphrasing that. You know, and then you hear the complaint going around. It seems like everything we put our hand to is blessed. And I could see David coming to get the ark over there, just in my mind. Now listen, David, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute. Are you sure that you know how to transport this ark? He would have probably made an issue of, I don't want the ark to leave. I am so blessed. When you have the presence of God in your life, you're blessed. It don't mean that it does not mean that you're totally free from tests and trials and tribulations. But even when you go through a test or a trial, God, you don't end up in division, you don't end up in strife, you end up in blessing. You don't end up in poverty, you end up financially secure. God will see to it you are blessed when His presence is ever so present in your life. Now this word phronemos, when you get over into the New Testament, you find the first time it mentioned is by a man who wanted to continue in the church and yet have incest with his family. Now he wanted to be quote a part of the church setting, but he wanted to continue into sin. And so, the first thing that Paul does, he reprimands him and says, hey, he says, turn this guy over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Amen? And so they obeyed him, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he wants back into the church. And you know what I thought was very interesting? Paul said that you better let this guy back in. Better let him back in. Why? Because he went and told us something. He says evidently he got out there, continued with his sin, and the devil is having a heyday on him. Because Paul said, I'd much rather have him lose his physical life than his spiritual life. But this guy, evidently, he got smart. He said, take me back. And Paul tells the church to do it. He says, and here's why. If we're not careful to restore this man, that same mind that we use to judge him with is the same mind that doesn't have restoration in mind. This is the same mind the devil's going to come back on us with. But we're not going to give him that opportunity. Are you following me? Paul was not for sin. But as much as Paul was not for sin, he said, be ever so much mindful of restoration. He said, that way you keep the presence of God in your midst. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the presence of God is important for your life. So the number one thing I want you to write these down is, again, number one, Satan doesn't want the presence of God in your life. And we know New Testament, one area that God will not tolerate is for you to make a division with a brother or a sister in the Lord without, first of all, restoring that person. And that will keep the presence of God in our midst. Are you following me? God don't have a problem judging sin. Where the problem really comes in the restoration of the one that created the sin. You've got to be mindful of people. Amen. You've got to be mindful of people. You know? Because they are important. The body of Christ is important. We don't think so, but it is. And so we've got to be ever mindful of keeping the presence of God in our midst, in our life. And I'm going to add something. Don't ever think because you're a witness to sin that you're not counted worthy to bring the matter to the church, because the Bible says that you are to bring the matter before the church if he doesn't hear you. So the witnesses to the sin have just as much right to report it as the person doing it. How many understand that? You've got to honor people like that, the witness, because they're preserving the body of Christ. They have a right to do that. They're an honor when they do that. Some Christians just want to shut their mouth and not say anything. You know what you are? You are a problem to the body of Christ if you don't speak against the sin that's in people's lives. You've got to be a witness to speak your heart, your place, so that restoration can take place in that Christian's life. But without the witnesses bearing witness to the sin, then how can you correct the one in the sin? Some people have reported to me they felt guilty because they've been a witness to sin. I tell them, don't you feel guilty because you made a statement of sin. That is not the place to go. You're the preserver of the body of Christ. You didn't shut your mouth. You didn't close your mouth and cover your eyes and plug your ears. We're called to preserve the body of Christ at all costs. And that includes the one in the sin. So to speak. Number two, the second thing that Satan wants you to do is to lose interest for the accuracy of the Word of God. He wants cancer to set into your life and not do things according to the Word. He wants to put you in the same position that Adam allowed Eve to be in, ignorant of what God said. He does not want you on fire for the Word of God. He'd rather have you connected by your emotions to people rather than what God said. And Adam would have corrected that whole situation if he hadn't taken his wife and put her before the Lord. You see, when you become a believer, you've got to remember one thing. He has to have the preeminence in your life, not people. Not your wife, not your children, not your loved one. The thing that has to have first place is this very fact. The Lord has to be first. Amen. Amen. But you know what? Adam sat there and listened to what the devil had to say to his precious wife and didn't bring a correction. Didn't even want to be a witness to what was going on. Sometimes you have to stand up and speak. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in now if Adam said, now wait a minute. Enough is enough. Now what you're telling her is a lie, devil. First of all, Eve, I want you to forgive me for not being clear as to the Word of God. So will you forgive me? And of course, she would say, well, of course. Okay, now first of all, what we're going to do, Eve, is we're going to get rid of this punk. We're going to kick him out of this garden. And we're not going to take of that fruit. And I also want to inform you, Eve, evidently he thought you were devourable. But he made a mistake. He made one big drastic mistake. Eve, this is Adam speaking. I'm here. I'm here to protect my wife. And I'm putting God first over my wife. And my God cares more for my wife than you have any idea for. So I want to let you know, you're finished in this garden. We're going to complete the truth. And the reason Adam compromised the truth, he took one look at Eve and said, oh, I don't want to lose my wife. So I ain't going to mess with this. I ain't going to mess with this. Besides, you said something about eyes being open. You know, it's one thing that devil is so good at when it comes to creating division. He creates it in such a way that it makes it seem so prudent and so right. I mean, he doesn't come as an angel of darkness. He comes as an angel of light. He makes you think that you are doing the most perfect thing on planet Earth, violating his word. And the first thing he does is he has convinced Adam along in the process that maybe God is pulling the wool over my eyes. God, there's something you ain't told me. Well, there's a problem. The source of that mouth came from the devil, not God. The devil has a voice in the earth. Some of us are just too stupid to understand the voice of... You know what? Jesus said, my people know my voice. My voice doesn't come to a lion that goes about roaring. You know what? Lions don't go after their prey roaring. Have you ever thought about that? Goes about as a roaring lion. That's about the way the lions go after their prey. You ever see the Animal Channel? I mean, them lions, you know what? They know their weaknesses and they know their strengths. And they get their prey by knowing their strengths in spite of their weaknesses. And one thing they do is they love to use treachery to nail their prey. And so they don't go, rawr, rawr, as they're crawling up on their prey. Yeah! If I was some innocent little animal and I'm in this grass feeding away and I hear, rawr, I'd know right where it's coming from, and I know what's coming. And I ain't going to stay there to continue to eat. I'm gone. No, that lion, he sneaks up in here. Gonna get you.
Got you, did that.
Then after I get my prey,
did I scare you too? Got my own wife in that one.
But you know something? If we carry a care or an anxiety and not peace and not the Word of God, then He can devour you. You have to be in peace and you have to know what God said. Am I doing the Word of God? That is the most important, that is the most comfort to me. When I see conflict in ministry, the most comforting thing to me is I'm giving your people the Word of God. Am I exposing an area of your life where you're blessed? Am I handling the Word of God? Because the Word of God is your most important thing that you've got to deal with. Not your feelings, not what you think. See, Eve thought what was right. And it was wrong. And the sad thing about it is, Adam didn't do anything to stop the fall. Because he began to question God. How did he begin to question God? He read something in there that wasn't there. Satan, that's the way he does it. He tries to put things in there that are not really there because he operates off unrealities. That is what creates the breakdown of something is that he operates out of non-realities. Things that don't really exist. You know, one thing that keeps a mature Christian designated from an immature one, one is unskilled in the Word of God. You have to become skillful in the Word of God. And so, the first thing he wants to remove is the presence of God. The second thing he wants to remove is the Word of God. He wants you to get more into what you feel about something or what you think about something rather than what you know is the will of God. And point number three, I hope you're writing this down. He does not want you. It grieves my heart. And here's why. Because when they choose to step outside the Word of God to handle anything in their life, they're in harm's way. You know, it would be nice if Satan would take a trip for even a month. The church would gain something. But he doesn't let up. And the very first thing he wants to do is make sure that he keeps the intensity on you to be more concerned about conflict rather than peace. Because your God is Shalom Shalom, a God of peace. That's the first thing that you have to operate by in your life is peace. And you have to have your faith and trust in the Word of God. Because he whose mind is stayed on thee is in perfect peace. You have to trust His Word and His will. The reason that so many things begin to break down in your life, in my life, the thing that breaks down is the fact that when people move in fear. Fear is the tool or the groundwork for Satan to operate off of. He wants you to be fearful. He doesn't want you to trust and have confidence that what God's doing, He's going to fulfill it, perform it until the day of His return for you. God wants you at peace and wants you to know that the good work that He had begun in you, He will finish it up until the day of His return. That's His promise to you. But no, He likes to come in as a wolf in the chicken yard and scatter all the chickens in the hen. Sue and I, our first church we ever attended, one of the things that killed my interest in the church was the gossip that was going around about the pastor. And the thing about it was, I had several believers try to come up and give me the information about the pastor. I'll never forget, I was in the nursery one time with this other gal. And this gal started telling me and giving me some information that she had discovered about the pastor and some relationship with a chick there in the church. And I'm sitting there, and she just, it was just gossip. And I never had that confrontation before. I never had anybody approach me like that before. I asked the Lord why, and He said, "You're too on fire for the Lord." He said, "When you're on fire for the Lord, people don't look you out to gossip. The devil always looks for those that are complacent and have the same spirit they got so they can pass that thing on." You know, one of the things that God hates is discording in a body. That's one of the abominations. God hates it. Discording of the congregation, He hates it. Because it's all the mind of the devil. And I sat there and I said, "Mrs. or Mr. or Mrs. Gossip." I didn't tell her that, but that's what I was thinking. I said, "So what are we going to do about this?" I asked her that. I said, "Now that we know all this, what are we going to do about it?" And she said, "Well, don't you think that's terrible?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that's a terrible thing." "Oh, he's in agreement with me." I said, "But before we go any further," I said, "let's not be moved by it." Donna was going to the same church with me. I said, "Let's not be moved by it. Let's pray for him and pray for her. What do you say?" Oh, yeah. You could see the hypocrisy on her. She didn't really want to pray for him. But I got her hand, and her hands were stiff, and she wasn't free. She was in offenses. And I said, "Let's pray. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, my sister and I are going to commit this to a petition of prayer right now. And Father, we'll never speak of it again except that this thing is going to be restored for the sake of the Word of God and the body of Christ that we're connected to. Amen." I just love my pastor. And you could see that she was... And I wasn't going to let her go. "Father, we love our pastor. Hallelujah. We love him so much. Hallelujah." And I said, "Oh, praise God. We're going to commit the Word of God over him. He's going to come out on top on this thing. Hallelujah." And you think I'm exaggerating? We were across the nursery to the other side. And I went, "Boy, I feel good about this, don't you?" "Yeah. Yeah." Well, the sad part about it, the girl herself ended up divorcing her husband and ran off with another man. Because there's always seeds of divorce in people's heart that want to divide want to spread gossip and divide. You got to get rid of those seeds of divorce operating in you, because if it is not killed in you, it'll be killed in something else. And Adam never took that devil and put him in his place over his wife. You've got to reverence the Word of God. If you don't think something is done by the Word of God, you need to confront it. It's got to be done by the Word of God. You are responsible for that. When you see a brother and sister miss the mark, you're responsible to be a witness where they're missing the mark and see to it gets corrected. Adam became passive. My gosh, one of the reasons why he got passive is he probably didn't want God to find out that they were even listening to him. As if God would never figure that one out. Sat there and ate with her. So number one, he doesn't want the presence of God in your life. Number two, he doesn't want you to function or perform the Word of God. He doesn't want you to know what the will of God is. He doesn't want you to... You know what? He'll even let you know what the will of God is, but he doesn't want you acting on it. Because the fruit of that will always manifest itself. And what did I say number three was? He doesn't want you to have faith in the Word of God. If you trust your faith more in the reaction of people rather than the blessing of the Word, you're in trouble. You're already in trouble. You've got to trust the Word of God more than you do people. People is not the Word of God. The Word of God is what God is, His Word. You've got to trust it more than you do people. And that's why you become dependable, is because you delight in the Word of God. You've got to trust in the Word of God. Now, we're going to stop there, but did you get something here? We're going to continue on. Because we're going to get into some other things, and I'm going to show you where most of Satan's arsenal is psychological. It's psychological. It's mind games. And when we get through with this series, I guarantee you, you're going to have your eyes more open than you've ever had before. Now, you know something? I have noticed in our church, wherever there's a neglect to the Word of God, these are believers that I lose. But when the believers are under the Word of God, they are solid, steadfast, and unmovable. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't like being moved once in a while. Somebody said, well, I didn't feel like leaving. I said, well, join the crowd. I wanted to leave my own church. But you know why I wanted to leave my own church? You people in it. You're the problem. Me, I'm such a righteous pastor, I'm perfect. Devil's tried to run me off I don't know how many times. And I was almost gullible enough. Wants to run me out of my ministry. You know what? He wouldn't have stopped running me out of this church. He would eventually talk me out of ministry altogether. Because that's where our mind starts playing these games. You know, when you're messing with the devil, he don't stop with taking you from one place. He takes you to go to another place. Why? Because he wants to take you from the other place to another place. Why? Because he wants to take you to his end result, his design scheme and plots and ploys. And most of the time when the devil can work on our heart is there's attitudes going off on us. We have been hurt. We've been offended. It's in us, not people. It's in us. That's the bottom line. We've been hurt. We've been offended. There's things going off in us, in our feelings and our emotions. And we sit there, and when we give in to that, we open the doorway up for Satan to start taking us on a hayride. So he can get us out there where those little people are hiding off in the bushes while you're on that hayride and start throwing rotten eggs at you. I've been on them hayrides. Church hayride. Get halfway into the hayride. What's an egg? Another egg. We had people in the church decide to ambush us. Yeah, he likes to take us on hay rides so we can get egg. But I've learned that if I'm going to trust the value of my walk with my Lord, His Word has to be first place in my heart. Doesn't mean I ain't going to make mistakes, because I've made a lot of them. None of you would ever notice that, though, right? How many of you can truthfully say, Pastor has never made mistakes? You better not raise that hand. I'll chop that thing off. How many of you can agree I have made mistakes? I got both mine. Thanks a lot. There's a lot of hands that went up. But you know what? Your hands are honorable because you're here. You think you'll get something out of this teaching? Amen and amen. Don't let the devil play with your mind on your emotions and your feelings, because you'll distort everything that way. That's just the way the devil wants it. I can imagine what was going off in Adam. I imagine he got ticked off from what the devil said. So, my eyes will be open. What has God been hiding from me? Evil. That's what he'd been hiding from him, right? Evil. Caught a good one there, didn't I? Evil. I'll tell you, the Word of God in the long run is everything, people. We have to understand it. Because it is your safety. It's your safety for your children. It's your safety for your home. It's your safety for your loved ones. It's your safety for your friends. It's to be a doer of the Word. It's to be a doer of the Word. Be a doer of the Word. Some of you, I so honor, because many of you here are doers of the Word. I've seen the devil put you through junk, garbage, and yet I've seen you come out on the other end, and I've had respect for you because you came back. You came back. You bounded back with the Word of God. Surely you're that type of woman. Just love you. I've seen what you've been through over the years. And the last meeting I had was so edifying, I just couldn't believe it. She came and she said, Pastor, I've evaluated where I missed it, and this is where I'm going to be. And I'm sitting there and I was just grinning ear from ear. Defeats the devil. Proud of you, Shirley. Never told you that before, but I am. Praise God. Even though those around her have not been faithful, she's been faithful. I can say that for a whole lot of you here. But Satan don't want us to edify one another. He don't want us to be tender-hearted with one another. He wants us all bowls in china closets. You put a bowl in my wife's china closet, you better forget about the bowl. Start focusing in on the wife. Praise the Lord. Did you guys get something? Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you so much for those who abide by it, live by it, walk by it. Even those that miss the mark, Father, I thank you when your Spirit brings them back on. Puts them in love and in truth. It's so important. For the safety of their life, safety of their children's life, their husband and wives. So important, because we have such a foul, stinking, rotten devil that is so subtle and crafty that he can move in on our lives without him even knowing it and undress us and leave us naked to his onslaughts. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that every person in this building will have the Word of God move so strong in their heart that he won't get a word in edgewise. Now, everybody stand up. Hallelujah. With every head bowed. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God this morning. And as we close this service, Father, we ask that if there anybody be here that has never received Jesus by confessing the sinner's prayer, Father, then I ask right now that you speak to their heart to respond, because being born from above, being born again, is so important. It stops that life of death and turns it to eternal life, life without end. Oh, what an important choice this morning. And so if there's anybody here that has compromised and never really have given their heart and life to Jesus and would like to get saved, then, Father, I pray that they respond to this altar. And, Father, if they are saved but they've been out of fellowship with the Lord and would like to restore that place of fellowship, then, Father, I ask that you speak to their hearts to restore that place. If there's any way we can help them, Father, we want to lay hands on them and restore them back into fellowship with you. So important. And Father, if there's anybody here that has never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Father, we want to see them receive tongues. Hallelujah. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just tongues, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. So if you fit any one of those three areas, we have some altar ministers here that are here. And we're ready to pray for you. And we don't want you to feel embarrassed. But if any one of these three areas, you felt the Lord speaking to your heart, would you step out and come forward to anybody? Just feel free to do that. It is so important. It is so important. Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.